WHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Bulldozers are clearing brush at Los Padres National Forest north of Los Angeles, where the state's largest wildfire has now chewed through more than 80,000 acres. CBS's Jason Allen is in Santa Maria.
The separation between black and green on the hillside is where firefighters have cut big fire breaks and used retardant to stop it here. But no sooner do they do that, the wind kicks up and the fire just pops up again somewhere else.
We've learned more about Jeffrey Epstein's co-conspirator and her interview with a top Trump administration official. CBS's Tina Krause.
Sources familiar with the matter tell CBS News Epstein's associate, Ghislaine Maxwell, did not implicate President Trump in Epstein's crimes during her recent meeting with Deputy Attorney General Todd Blanche.
In Japan, a ceremony today marking 80 years since the U.S. dropped the world's first atomic bomb on Hiroshima. CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Gas prices are up 4.8 cents compared to last week, landing at an average of $2.92. This is 0.7 cents lower than a month ago and over 56 cents per gallon lower than this time last year. The national average has increased during the past 2 weeks and is up 1.3 cents from last month, standing at $3.11 per gallon. Officials at GasBuddy say OPEC Plus has fully restored production to 2023 levels. The weak jobs report and renewed tariff threats bring fresh economic concerns, causing oil prices to potentially face headwinds. This could pave the way for a decline in gas prices in the weeks ahead. Prices in central Wisconsin range from $2.76 to $2.87 per gallon. The Wisconsin Elections Commission deactivated nearly 200,000 voter registrations on Friday, August 1st. This happens every 4 years in a maintenance process required by law. The voters deactivated by the WEC had not voted in the past 4 years. And the administrator of the Wisconsin Elections Commission, Megan Wolf, says the WEC does not have a record of them responding to a mailing from the agency regarding their registration status. Every 2 years, the commission is required by state law to conduct voter record maintenance. Wolf said the required review helps ensure the integrity of the statewide voter database. Individuals whose voter registration status is deactivated can no longer vote using that voter record and must re-register to vote at their current address. Of the more than 202,000 postcards the commission mailed in June notifying inactive voters a notice of suspension, 9,501 did respond. Voters with no record of responding or whose postcard was returned as undeliverable by the post office were deactivated. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR WIRI News.
Quay Walker is back. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports from Green Bay, where the Packers finally have their middle linebacker, Quay Walker, back in action. The former first-round pick suffered an ankle injury last December against the Seahawks, but didn't have surgery until May.
I thought it was just a high ankle, so I thought it was just something that just was lingering on at the moment. And then I came back for OTAs and tried to do something. I just knew something wasn't feeling right. I didn't want it to, like, just to linger on throughout the season. So I was like, I think the smart idea, probably going to have surgery during OTAs and get it out the way.
Baseball. The Brewers beat the Braves again, this time 7-2. Nothing special, just walks, stealing bases, RBIs.
We pecked away and got it done, but they left a lot of guys on base. It's kind of a little bit nerve-wracking. Freddie made some big pitches at some big times. You know, he really did. Credit to him.
That's Brewers manager Pat Murphy. The series wrapping up today in Atlanta with sports on Mike Clemens.
Reach, engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, mostly sunny, a high near 85. Slight chance of a shower tonight, 65. Some showers and storms on your Thursday with highs in the mid-80s. Sunny and hotter for Friday, low 90s. For Saturday, showers and storms, 92.
Right now, it's 55.
Are you ever questioning when life will slow down? Are you ever thinking of just relaxing and enjoying the simple things? All of this is possible, even while still being in the workforce. Worthington, Minnesota is a town growing, yet it's nothing like metro life. Professional and labor jobs, a beautiful lake, bike trails, recreation, acres of public hunting, festivals, and great people. Slow down. We're just a short drive away. So come join us. Worthington, it's worth a look.
This message is for Karina, our mom who finished her high school diploma at age 28. Hi, Mom. It's Amethyst and Nicholas.
Congratulations on getting your diploma.
You worked so hard and have taught us so much.
We love you.
When you graduate, they graduate. Finish your high school diploma for you and for them. Visit finishyourdiploma.org to find free and supportive adult education centers near you. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Jay Matt Nair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on this show, political consultant Joseph Pecky will join us. We're also going to talk tariffs and so much more with Derek Van Ruden and wrap it up with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Join us.
Matt Nair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11. This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Thank you, Don Rue. It is 8:06 on this sixth day of August. It's a Wednesday morning. Nice to have you here up north. Parker Olson is producing this fine program down in Madison at Studio A2. Earl Ingram is standing by in Milwaukee in just a bit. First, we're going to bring in meteorologist Brittany Merlot for an update on a forecast that is less smoky, but it's going to be hot, and
yes,
it's going to be a little wetter than it has been lately. Welcome
Nothing's
to summer.
Changing. Yeah, we do.
It's one of those, you know, we'd love to joke in the Midwest, if you don't like the weather, you know, wait 5 minutes, it'll change. And I think that's what's made things a little weird around here is that we've had this smoky weather for so many days in a row now. It's not like us to have a situation stick around for a long time, but change is finally going to be a constant once again around Wisconsin.
And I think a lot of us are welcoming that right now. We're a little sick of this wildfire smoke still lingering. It is actually getting thicker right now in the southern parts of the state near Madison. It's even creeping up to unhealthy levels for all of us into the Appleton area. Stevens Point is also seeing levels, AQIs in the 150 range. So it's getting worse right now in central and southern Wisconsin as we've got winds moving in the northern part of the state. So that's why it's cleared out of that area much more. And it's still kind of hanging out south and east. So an air quality alert still in effect until noon. I do think that the winds are going to start to shift off of the Lake Michigan, and really start to get gusty probably this evening, early this evening. So if it's not gone by this afternoon, early this evening, it is going to get on out of here. We've got another system moving in. It's already starting to push some light drizzle, scattered sprinkles in towards Superior and the Hayward area. Eau Claire, you could see a few of those over the next hour or two. And that is going to be working its way through the state. So clouds increasing this afternoon, chances for spotty drizzle, nothing major. And of course, temperatures hitting those low to mid 80s today. Now by tomorrow, it's going to become muggy, low to mid 80s. So feeling warmer than it will today. And we're turning hot and humid too. Got a lot of weather still to deal with tomorrow. We're looking at overnight, maybe some rain and thunder, and we could see some more lingering still into Friday morning. Friday is the hot and humid day. We're talking temperatures pushing 90 degrees, humidity, dew points in those mid-70s, so feeling more like the mid to upper 90s, both Friday and Saturday before a cold front hits us on Saturday, and then takes its time moving through the state on Sunday. So a lot more severe chances moving in over the weekend, but still scattered showers and storms expected by tonight and through tomorrow.
But the 90s are coming back for a little visit here. Yeah, right. We have spent so much time indoors in air conditioning, even when it was hot because of the smoke, that we haven't really had the chance to like enjoy the 90s in terms of, you know, what's your getaway when it's really hot and you're not in the house? Do you want to be at a pool, a lake? Do you have a favorite way to get away or deal with the hot weather when you're outside?
I sure do. It's definitely the water. Any type of water. I stand up paddleboard, so that's nice, okay. You know? Oops, mm-hmm. I fell in. Or you can lay on it. Yeah. Right?
Oopsies.
Oops. But I love, love, love going up to Lake Superior, especially right now in August when the water is warm enough to actually get in, but it's crisp and cool. And you also get that lake breeze, too, so it's cooler by the lake. I love Very Lake nice. Superior.
I've discovered shade. Good job, Pat. I've discovered that if you've got a hammock and you can get that hammock in just the right shady spot where you can get whatever little breeze is there, but you're not getting the sun.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
I mean, it's no substitute for a lake or a pool, but it's not a bad runner up.
Oh, that is so relaxing. Much. And the breeze going through the leaves and you're just reading a book on the hammock. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Or a pontoon or an open Jeep and then just gun it. Ooh. So give yourself a breeze.
Yeah.
That all works well, too. Brittany, thank you so much. Hope you have a great day.
Thanks, you too.
All right. Let's bring in Earl Ingram, and you can get his podcast, What's Going On with Earl Ingram, by heading over to civicmedia.us and learning more. Earl, let's start with the hot weather here. Good morning. Hope you're well. I know that growing up in the city like I did, I mean, we didn't have community pools, all right? You had to go to one of the lakes and hope that you didn't get chiggers, you know, swimmer's itch. And sometimes you did, and you needed that calamine lotion and everything. But, you know, those lakes were the only thing that we had going. People were going to the Chippewa River or Lake Altoona, whatever. You know, how would you best describe a hot weather getaway if you got to deal with the heat around your neck of the woods?
Well, you know, going down by the lake, you know, I think one of the things that people might miss about the city of Milwaukee is we're on a lake,
mm-hmm.
and they don't. It's not talked about much, but you know, you're not far away from a beautiful Lake Michigan, and you know, it's a bus ride, a city bus ride away, and you can get there, and it is spectacular. The view is spectacular, and there's a lot of activities there on that lake, and so that's always a great place for me to go. It's very scenic, and you know, I think it's just kind of taken for granted.
Yeah, no. When I lived there in the late 80s, early 90s, the city slogan was a great place by a great lake, and I don't know why they stopped using that because it works perfectly there. They love to talk about it being cooler by the lake. And they take that not just as a weather thing, but as life. Life is a little cooler by the lake. It's a wonderful air conditioner when you get a chance to get down and enjoy it. But,
well, young people especially take advantage of it.
Yeah, very much so. But of course, you normally don't get to hang out by the lake because you're like me. You're working too much. And if I'm still doing at 71, being 61 now, when I get to be 71 like you, if I'm still working this hard, I hope somebody chides me the way I'm chiding you and telling you to enjoy the lake a little bit more often. But you are. You keep working. You've got this podcast going. We're going to talk about Negro League history in a sec, but you're continuing your conversations with Dr. Howard Fuller, and we're going to get into the ongoing problem of literacy, something that I worked on here in the Chippewa Valley, something that is an ongoing problem throughout Wisconsin, certainly no different down where you are in Milwaukee.
You know, I think what has transpired is technology. There's several things and reasons why literacy is such a major issue in this country. America ranks anywhere between 14th and 125th in literacy and in this world. And depending on who's, you know, doing the figuring, the fact, even if we're 14th, people should stop and pause and take a look at that, because it wasn't so long ago that America was, you know, in the top 3, 4, 5 when you and I were youngsters. And to see that we've fallen that far, and I think there are many different reasons. Technology clearly is one of those. The way reading had been taught. When I was a young boy, it was phonics, and some brilliant person decided that whole language was the way to teach children. We tinkered with that for decades and found out that that was really a major mistake. But so I believe somebody made a lot of money off of that deal, and young people have suffered. Clearly, COVID has something to do with it, but technology and all those things, it is Dr. Fuller's belief that the way reading is being taught, and that educators, through no fault of their own, don't know how to teach reading anymore. And so he's challenging universities. There's a new reading plan that he has in place. And for those who don't know Dr. Fuller, he's one of the foremost people in this nation when it comes to education. And so, you know, we're going to continue to have these conversations with Dr. Fuller about what has happened to our young people in reading and education.
Yeah, and it's work that, look, if somebody gets through the entire school process and they're still having literacy issues, it's a very real thing that prevents you from getting, you know, a better job than maybe the lower paying one that you've got. The work that I did for about a decade with literacy volunteers of the Chippewa Valley showed that it doesn't matter where you are. There are people who, for various reasons, either they kind of didn't take their learning seriously and they skated through, or they faced other environmental reasons why learning was not really encouraged and fostered under their roof. And so I would just urge people to continue to support not just, you know, their schools for teaching literacy, but the organizations that try to help out as well. And again, Earl, it's, you know, it's everywhere. It's not Milwaukee. It's across this nation, like you just said, where we need to take literacy much more seriously than folks did for a while.
Well, let me ask you, it's, having said what you just said, and I'm in agreement with you 100%, taking off PBS doesn't make it any better.
No. Yes. My goodness, no. No. It is just, we don't even, I don't want to get too far on this soapbox, but, you know, when you talk about technology, we have tools that are out there and we're not using them. And in fact, we're removing some of the tools like the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and PBS. But even if you come back during the pandemic, mini rant coming here. Not long ago, all the TV stations were given multiple channels. Okay, you can go to channel 4 and they got 4.1, 4.2, 4.3, 4.4. And what do you see on there? Nothing but oldies, old movies, things like that. What they told us at the time was we're going to use some of those sub channels for, like, you know, public service and education. And why during the pandemic you didn't see more of these TV stations using, you know, 4.2, 6.2, 12.2 to allow educators to continue talking to the kids is a mystery I will never get over. And please forgive the mini rant, but when you bring that up, it really hits a sore point with me that we could be doing so much better in our media addressing learning and especially literacy.
You know, I almost believe that this is done for a nefarious reason. And, you know, if you've been around long enough, you can kind of see that It certainly does not make sense that for a nation that prides itself in a robust future, if children can't read, the future of the nation is not very bright.
No, and not if you're undermining, you know, our public schools as well through, you know, things like austerity type budgets. Forgive me, I had so much to say about that I've eaten up a lot of our time. Are you able to hang around after the break and talk about the Negro Leagues?
Absolutely.
All right, I'd appreciate that. Some of you will have a local break coming up here in just a moment. And if you don't get a chance to hear us, come back and subscribe to the show as a podcast. And then you can just catch that on demand anytime. Head over to Spotify or Apple and subscribe as a podcast, or head over to civicmedia.us. Every one of our hours is an episode, and you can just listen back to the episode of that particular hour about what we do. And by the way, the same goes for your local cut-ins. You can head to your local civic media station and listen back to the work that's being done on the local level. All right, before that break, I've got just enough time to talk to you about the Brewers, because again, 5 games in a row for the Brewers. They beat Atlanta 7-2 last night. The current winning streak for the Brewers is 5 games. Their lead over the Chicago Cubs is now 4 games in the National League Central Division. Freddie Peralta went 5 innings, allowed only 1 run on 4 hits. Andrew Vaughn singled in 2 runs. He now has an 11-game hitting streak that matches the longest of his career. And Isaac Collins, a candidate for National League Rookie of the Year, well, he drove in 2 runs on 2 hits as well. Jose Quintana starts Game 3. Pregame across several Civic Media stations can be heard starting at 5:40. From the heart of America's up north, live from Lake Wissota, thanks for making this the place to spend part of your mornings. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
Crockett Septic provides professional septic system pumping, inspections, and portable sanitation rentals. Trust the experts and keep your system running smoothly. Call Crockett Septic today, 715-712-3456, or visit CrockettSeptic.com.
While retinitis pigmentosa takes Mark's vision, his family gives him hope, whether at the family business or at home with his wife and sons. He knows he's not fighting alone. For 50 years, the Foundation Fighting Blindness has funded research into treatments and cures for blinding retinal diseases, providing hope to people with vision loss. And for Mark, winning the fight means being there for his family. The Foundation Fighting Blindness. Together, we're winning. Help us end blinding diseases at fightingblindness.org.
Get those oars ready. It's time for Rafter Baseball. Your Wisconsin Rapids Rafter season is here, and there's never been a better time to get to legendary Winterfield. They have new and classic promotions going on all summer. And remember, if you can't get to the park, every hit, every pitch, every win is at 97.5 WFHR. We will have every game broadcast here as it's been for 16 years. Get to know the team with our segment, Meet Your Rafters, and listen for ticket giveaways. It's going to be a memorable summer with your Wisconsin Rapids Rafters and your 97.5 FM WFHR. Let's play ball!
You know that tune. You're a star. You know stuff. Why not win stuff? Maybe it's stuff about TV or movies, but still, you shine at useless information. And WFHR and Culver's want to reward you.
Welcome back.
Join the morning show Fridays for a chance to win one value basket and a kid's meal. Be our next superstar with Culver's Star of the Day every Friday at 97.5 FM WFHR.
This one goes out to the elder millennials. We're not as flashy as those other millennials and not as grungy as Gen X, but our music deserves another listen. Burn Before Listening features hits,
no, we can't read a face.
Deep cuts, and some authentic cringe.
This is how you remind.
From 2000 to 2009, Burn Before Listening on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, Sundays at 9 p.m.
As Wisconsin is saying the word bag instead of bag, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, and now for something local from WFHR and WIRI Studios.
Join us in the Junior Fair Building, and you can make a card, you can write a letter, you know, whatever you want to do, and we're going to get those up to Wausau so that our friends who get to go to Washington, D.C. and see the memorials that were created for them, for the service that they put in, they're going to have kind of some cool letters and cards and things to start their experience off. So again, free of charge, come on down and write a letter, make a card, whatever it is.
With both of these things we're going to talk about here, they are not only great things for the kids to do, and the people that are receiving them are going to be over to the moon, thankful and appreciative and all that. And hopefully that goes without saying. But I do like to note all of these things we've been talking about, especially these latter things that we're getting into, they are more and more experiences for kids to see adults asking them to do something for another adult, for oftentimes a stranger. And what is going to get them more likely to do that as an adult? These kind of actions, yeah. Seeing their parents, seeing the people they look up to, seeing that they admire, yeah. Going out of their way to help our veterans or going out of way to help others in need. They are more likely when they become adults to do that by seeing us do it. Those brains are sponges. Yeah. Let's fill them with some good. Let's fill them with some good activities and some doing some good in our communities. And we raise more and more kids wanting to put into their community.
Absolutely. I appreciate that.
And I appreciate you thinking of this. It's an add-on. It's mm-hmm. something that's above and beyond what you, like you do a lot with the 4-H. That's a great part. And then this next one, something I hadn't even thought of before, and I appreciate you even bringing attention to, for people like me that hadn't thought about something like this, let alone what the kids are going to be making. Sure. They're a really cool idea.
Sure. So the Marshfield Clinic Health Systems Volunteer Services puts out like a list of things that they would really appreciate that can kind of help make patients' experiences better. And Wood County 4-H got this fantastic fabric donation of flannels. So we're gonna appreciate the donation that we received. We're going to teach some basic sewing skills. We're going to have sewing machines set up at the fair, my friends.
Wow.
And you can come in, learn some basic sewing skills with me, and make ice pack holders for patients at the hospital. And these bags, we've got fabric for everybody because they are not just for kids. They're, you know, in all of the departments, they use these ice pack holders. So I just think, why not, right? And I think about paying it forward, right? Wood County 4-H got a great donation. And rather than just using that for the well-being of our own program or whatever, let's pass it along.
Yeah.
Everybody who's coming, maybe they already know how to sew and they just need some downtime at the sewing machine.
Sure, yeah.
By all means. Maybe they're kind of sewing curious. They've always kind of wondered and they don't know how. Well, sit down with me. I would love to work at the sewing machine with you. And it's always so cool to see how appreciative folks at the hospital are.
Yeah,
it feels a little homey.
I was just going to say, I think that a lot of us have been in those situations with a loved one or maybe yourself where, you know, there's so many different wide variety of things they need these ice packs for. And you get that and you're sitting there. And most hospitals, if not all the ones surrounding this area that I've been in, I've been in all of them, are nice. They do a good job. They have great people there. They're well, you know, lit up and things. But they still ain't home. They don't feel like they're, you know, there's nothing they can do for that. But these little things, you're right. They have that little homey feel to them. They make us feel a little more like that we're a person and we're not just there to, you know, like checking the oil on the car or something. And that's nothing against the healthcare industry or nothing like that. It's just the way the system is and the way, you know, it feels for all of us. I imagine for them as well. It just goes so much farther than I think we realize. Even I hadn't realized until I was reading the notes this morning and thinking about it and like, oh, that does go a long way. That really is a cool thing. And I didn't know about the paying it forward part. Great idea. That's a really cool idea.
Well, thanks. You know what? Like the 4-H pledge, we're pledging our heads, we're pledging our hearts, we're pledging our hands, and we're pledging our health, right? To the betterment of our selves, our community, our world, right? Like that's really what we're all about. And sometimes we just need to think intentionally, how do we make things happen? We can't just assume that kids are going to learn how to interact with others, how they can impact their world, how they can interact with local governments or even great, right? Like we need to think about how to teach these things to kids. And again, trying to make sure that we do it in a fun and approachable way.
Yeah. All of these things we've been talking about with 4-H, I can only imagine has encouraged a lot of people to want to learn more or even enroll their kids. And we got something, it's right around the corner enrollment. Yeah. So a perfect time to start thinking about that.
The beginning of the school year, you know, September, that is also the beginning of the 4-H year. So if you're curious and you want to learn more about 4-H, you can always reach out to me. Our office is in the courthouse. So if you feel like stopping by someday, feel free. Stop on by and let's talk. Otherwise, you can call me. You can email me. You can check us out on social media. You can check us out on our website. Like there's lots of ways to get a hold of us. So let me start with sharing my phone number. If you want to get a hold of me, I'm at 715-421-8439. Or you can email me at Laura, L-A-U-R-A. Dot Huber, that's H-U-B as in boy, E-R, at WISC, W-I-S-C, dot E-D-U. And actually, I found that the social media pieces, our Facebook page and our Instagram page have become really important. So, you know, check us out on those spaces as well.
And keep in mind, if you're driving around or something and you need to get that again, we'll get it to you. Reach out to us. You can also go to their website. We'll get that to you before we wrap up, because I did have one more thing I wanted to pick your brain about, Laura, if you don't mind a little bit. We've been covering this as a station, you know, the budget and budget cuts and a lot of those things. And we understand that our nonprofits are, they've always been underfunded, but now more than ever in many ways. And we're trying to bring as much attention to that as we can. I know that you at 4-H, you guys have your calendar raffle that you do. And this is a big part of the fundraising that is done in keeping 4-H healthy and thriving. I wanted to touch on that a little bit.
So it's not only about keeping 4-H healthy and thriving, it's keeping it affordable for families.
Yes.
Because everything is getting so expensive. Mm-hmm. And I don't ever want families to have to decide between meals, mortgages, and all of those sorts of things, and letting their kids experience 4-H, right? So the calendar raffle program that we've got going on right now.
You were listening to the Rapids Report, sponsored by Crockett Septic. To hear the full interview, visit WFHR.com, the Civic Media app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids Home for Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Air quality alert is still in effect. Meteorologist Brittany Merlot explains.
A high-pressure system is to blame for dragging in Canada's wildfire smoke. The system was parked north, and as it slid directly over the Midwest, it took the smoke with it. These pressure systems bring calm conditions, light winds, and sunny skies. Instead, we've been stuck in a haze. Because how this weather system works is it takes the air above and sinks it to the ground. Now some are feeling health issues and side effects from breathing in the polluted air. Looking back at 2023, we had 2-day hits of air quality alerts. It never lasted any longer. For example, June 27th to 29th, the alert was in effect for 2 consecutive days. Then again on July 14th through the 16th. Now this stretch we're in now, it's like the 7th inning of a non-scoring baseball game where it drags. As of August 5th, it's been an entire week. 7 days straight. Now in some places, the alert expired on Saturday, but that still marks a record of 4 days in a row. The high-pressure system and thickest smoke is now slowly sliding to the east, hugging the Great Lakes and devouring New York. Meanwhile, a low-pressure system is building to the west and headed our way. This will kick up winds and shift the air mass out of here. For Civic Media News, I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
Now Justice Susan Crawford was officially sworn in for a 10-year term on the Wisconsin Supreme Court on Friday following her victory in the April election. The state Supreme Court election was the most expensive in American history. It also garnered national attention as an Elon Musk-backed political action committee spent tens of millions of dollars in support of Justice Crawford's opponent, Waukesha County Judge Brad Schimmel. Justice Crawford's victory secured a 4-3 liberal majority on the court, which could become a 5-2 majority next year. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. How much is Leo DiCaprio worth? In the neighborhood of $30 to $50 million, according to Warner Brothers and Michael Mann. Mann has a finished script for Heat 2, his follow-up to his 1995 film Heat. Attached so far are actors Austin Butler and Adam Driver. Mann's ideal budget is $200 million, which Warner Brothers balked at. Mann did a revised budget for $170 million, and Warners told him they would like it to be even less expensive. Mann's solution, according to Hollywood Insider, is to sign Leonardo DiCaprio in hopes that it will get Warners to sign off on a higher budget. The original film was a hit and starred Robert De Niro, Al Pacino, Val Kilmer, and Ashley Judd. The sequel will focus on tracking down Val Kilmer's character, who escaped in the first Heat. The film is not quite a lock to get made and is currently in the very early stages of pre-production. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, mostly sunny, a high near 85. Slight chance of a shower tonight, 65. Some showers and storms on your Thursday with highs in the mid-80s. Sunny and hotter for Friday, low 90s. For Saturday, showers and storms, 92.
It's 57 at our studios. It's back. Because of the tremendous response last year, the studios of WFHR and WIRI will be having an open house on Wednesday, August 20th from 12 to 6 p.m. Join the crew for food trucks, games, and a staff dessert contest. Kids can try their hand at being a radio announcer. Some will even be played on the air. Local nonprofits will be on hand, along with special live broadcasts on both stations. Join us right here, 1690 2nd Avenue South, for our open house on August 20th from 12 to 6.
Let's go Brewers!
You can go to the Brewers.
Wait, Todd, what?
It's Free Ticket Friday, Terry. A chance to win a four-pack of Brewers tickets several times every Friday. Great seats, by the way.
Okay, so download the free Civic Media app, find your local station, and listen for the keyword. Then text it through the app for your chance to win in this statewide contest.
Free Ticket Friday! On your local Civic Media radio station and the app. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome into the studio Northeast Wisconsin filmmaker Craig Kinnett, and Northeast Wisconsin singer-songwriter DeAndre Marie performs live. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Hey, sign up for our newsletters at upnorthnewswi.com. Subscribe up in the top banner there, and you can get things like our Sunday morning newsletter about Wisconsin politics. It includes a question of the week where I ask how Democrat-led states should deal with Republican-controlled states like Texas that are continuing to gerrymander their congressional maps. Should they respond in kind or not sink to that level? Again, head to upnorthnewswi.com. To learn more, time for our climate check. Melissa Baldoff with us, as well as Casey Hicks from Wisconsin Conservation Voters. It is nice to have you both here. Casey, I'm going to set this up with familiar territory from me and Melissa. Melissa, how many times have we likened what's happening in Washington, D.C. right now to, like, you know, the supervillains in a Hollywood disaster blockbuster? I mean, it's
been a number of times.
It's been the narrative for a reason.
Because it keeps happening.
Well, yeah, because it's happening. And the most recent one that we wanted Casey to talk about comes from Lee Zeldin, the administrator of the Environmental Protection Agency. Now we have to put protection in quotation marks, that says that they are going to rescind what's known as the endangerment finding. It's one of the basic building blocks of protecting our climate. And Casey's going to explain what it is. But as he explains this, I just want you to keep the visual in mind that the EPA administrator, Lee Zeldin, did all this while speaking at a truck dealership in Indianapolis. I want to say you cannot make this stuff up, but this is where we are. Casey, good morning. Let's start with what the endangerment finding is.
Sure. And good morning. Thanks, Pat, for having me. I'm happy to be here on the show with you and Melissa. So the endangerment finding came out of a 2007 Supreme Court ruling, Massachusetts v. EPA, that set the cornerstone for the endangerment finding to actually come out itself in 2009. Basically, what it said is that EPA is legally required to regulate carbon dioxide and a mix of other greenhouse gases, including things like methane, perfluorocarbons, et cetera. It's required to do so underneath the Clean Air Act. It was a very clear decision. It was a 5-4 decision. It found that the definition of air pollutants to be unambiguous. And at the time, this was during the Bush administration, EPA was kind of dodging the question on whether or not they should be actually regulating carbon dioxide and this mix of other greenhouse gas emissions. Massachusetts, along with several other states, sued to get to this decision. But in essence, the Supreme Court said that the EPA couldn't use policy preferences to avoid regulation, but it needs to be based on sound science and evidence, which it clearly is. So that is what led to EPA actually creating the endangerment finding in 2009. And since then, it's been the backbone of several different EPA regulations with vehicle emissions, power plants, so on and so forth, and really is the most powerful tool, for EPA and the government to be fighting climate change in a regulatory sense.
And so essentially in rescinding this declaration, what they're saying is we rescind, fail to recognize basic science. Am I pretty much getting that right?
Yeah. Yeah, very much so. And I would say it's even going further than that. The new science, and I'm going to use quotation marks there, that EPA and Department of Energy and Lee Zeldin are using is really pseudoscience, unsound, and flies in the face of, at this point, decades of very sound science from hundreds, thousands of scientists in the U.S. and across the globe.
Now, again, Zeldin said the proposal would erase limits on greenhouse gas emissions from cars and trucks on the nation's roads. Melissa, again, as he said, the proposal would, if finalized, amount to the largest deregulatory action in the history of the United States. He was bragging about this while speaking at a truck dealership. Melissa, let me turn it over to you for any questions to Casey Hicks from Wisconsin Conservation Voters.
Yeah, I mean, just, you know, the more we see about this, this, you know, just strikes me as something that is, you know, not about the next, you know, 3.5 years of the Trump administration, but this is about, you know, them really, you know, undermining and essentially, you know, invalidating any possibility for the EPA to do its work going forward, you know, for the next, you know, forever, right? I mean, this seems like this is them trying to make this, you know, permanent, trying to make it as hard as possible for, you know, a new administration, a new Congress, anyone who recognizes science and wants to actually get back on the right path. It seems like if they are successful here, it's going to make that a lot harder for a future administration, future Congress. Is that your, you know, kind of assessment as well? Or, you know, how hard is this to, you know, undo, you know, once this has been unleashed and, you know, done?
Yeah. So I want to be clear that if the endangerment finding goes through this rulemaking process, it's going to take several months to actually rescind it. We're going to be going through a comment period up until about September 15th. And there's going to be testimony that folks can take part in August 19th and 20th. So there's time to make our voices heard on protecting this. But yes, if it does go away, then we're taking away the cornerstone to many other climate and greenhouse gas regulations that exist. So part of this rollout for rescinding the endangerment finding was also taking back the 2024 emission standards that were just finished up last year. And basically, they're using the endangerment finding, in their words, not being sound, taking mental leaps, to say that vehicle emission standards that were based on it, that use it as its cornerstone, are not possible and that they can't do them. And so this is one part of a larger strategy that the Trump administration has been carrying out since the second term, but arguably in their first term, they tried to carry it out as well. And thankfully, there were roadblocks then. But at this point, it's very clear that they want to remove the endangerment finding so that they can start picking away at these other climate laws and regulations. And you're right, Melissa, really changed the landscape of laws and regulations having to do with protecting our public health and protecting ourselves from climate change going forward.
We are talking to Casey Hicks from Wisconsin Conservation Voters. And the New York Times marks that this is a notable shift in the Trump administration's position that originally had simply downplayed the threat of global warming to one that now essentially flatly denies the overwhelming scientific evidence of climate change. The Times writes it would not only reverse current regulations, but if the move is upheld in court, it could make it significantly harder for future administrations to rein in climate pollution from the burning of coal, oil, and gas. Now, we could wallow in this for hours and hours. I'm going to try, Casey, to make this a glass half full thing, or at least get your impression on it, that there may be, because of the ongoing advocacy for a cleaner climate, that even if the government is busy denying basic science, that there will still be an advocacy and a consumer push that will lead automakers to say, instead of saying, oh, there's no more rules, we can race to the bottom, is to continue to embrace cleaner burning vehicles. Is that still a possibility, or is it your fear that a race to the bottom in terms of emissions is going to get started?
I do think it's clear that in many cases, industry is moving towards more efficient vehicles. I don't know if you can quite say the same right now for power plants with the rise of AI and data centers, that they, and with the loss of tax credits recently in the budget reconciliation bill, that we're going to have as much progress in curbing climate change and investing in renewables and making vehicles more efficient, cleaner, without that, without those tools, and especially without the endangerment finding. But I think it is really important to stress right now that people's comments during this period, talking about the endangerment finding and what it means for your daily lives, is really important, both in the rulemaking process itself and when there's no doubt that there's going to be litigation that'll come out once this rule is possibly finalized, if it is. Our very first backstop is to have folks submit comments, show up to provide testimony at EPA hearings that I mentioned earlier on August 19th and 20th, and talk about how climate change is affecting them, because it is affecting us right now. We've all seen and experienced the last week in seeing just thick haze hanging in the air over the entire state of Wisconsin and much of the Midwest. The last 10 years, each year has been the hottest year on record. And in Wisconsin, we've also seen just worse and worse severe weather that's more frequent, much more severe. And so climate change is happening. We're in the midst of it right now. We're close to the tipping point, which is why it's so important to speak out to protect the endangerment finding. And additionally, I mentioned there's going to be inevitable litigation if this goes through. Having people comment and have a public record that this is something the public does not want to go away is going to be important for any potential lawsuits that come forward too.
And we're talking to Casey Hicks from Wisconsin Conservation Voters, along with Melissa Baldoff, for this week's Climate Check. So in closing that part of our discussion, Casey, what would you like folks to do? Where can they go to learn more?
Yeah, folks can go to our website, conservationvoters.org. They can sign up for our email alerts, and pretty soon we'll be sending out more information on how people can sign up for the comment period with EPA, sign up to testify, and we recommend that folks do so as soon as possible. Anyone is allowed to testify. The EPA asks people to pre-register by August 12th, so we're recommending people register by then. And so if folks would like to get more info and learn how to sign up and have talking points and info to make the best testimony and comment possible, go to our website, conservationvoters.org, and sign up for our email alerts.
I appreciate that very much. And Casey, you're about to learn why Melissa has the most thankless job in Wisconsin radio right now, is that I sometimes read other climate headlines to her and just simply ask her to react and not use any naughty words on the radio. The headline from National Public Radio: why a NASA satellite that scientists and farmers rely on may be destroyed on purpose. The Trump administration has asked NASA to drop plans to end at least two major satellite missions. If the plans are carried out, one of the missions would be permanently terminated because the satellite would burn up in the atmosphere. The data the two missions collect is widely used by scientists, oil and gas companies, and farmers who need detailed information about carbon dioxide and crop health. They are the only two federal satellite missions that were designed and built specifically to monitor planet-warming greenhouse gases. Melissa, in 20 seconds, what kind of a world are we live in where the President of the United States would rather let a satellite burn up in orbit than get data on climate change?
Well, sadly, we live in Donald Trump's world, because this is his MO. He rejects science, and he would rather destroy things to prove a point than to let anyone benefit from science, from You know, they've got a stockpile of food and birth control. They're going to light on fire.
Exactly. So there you go. And she did it without saying any naughty words whatsoever. Melissa, thank you so much. We'll talk to you next week. Casey Hicks from Wisconsin Conservation Voters. We'll wrap things up with a local break for some of you. Others, James Kelly from Chippewa Falls after this. I'm Pat Kreitlum.
Rebuilding and refreshing local radio one station at a time. This Civic Media radio station is proud to be a part of your community. Learn more at civicmedia.us.
This fall, there's only one place to be, Camp Randall Stadium. Wisconsin football returns with can't-miss matchups, including Maryland, Iowa, Washington, and more. From the first touchdown to jump around and the celebration of the fifth quarter. Experience the traditions and unforgettable memories that make Wisconsin football so special. Single game tickets are now on sale. Lock in your spot today by visiting uwbadgers.com or call 1-800-GO-BADGERS. Wisconsin football game day starts here. We'll see you at Camp Randall.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. With Governor Tony Evers choosing not to run for a third term, that means we're going to have the first open race for governor in 16 years. We already know who some of the candidates will be. On the Democratic side, Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez launched her campaign, and Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley said he's running. On the Republican side, Washington County Executive Josh Showman and Southeastern Wisconsin Business Executive Bill Berrien are running. Many more are expected to join the race. And it's not just governor that will have an open race. We could see open races for Attorney General, Lieutenant Governor, Secretary of State, and State Treasurer, too. Couple that with what's happening in the state legislature, no longer under gerrymandered maps, the year 2026 is going to bring a rather unique moment for voters in Wisconsin to determine the path forward on a fresh new era for the state. I know some can be wary of change, but let's embrace this as the real opportunity that it is.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. You may think racial gerrymandering happened long ago and just in southern states with legacies of suppressing African Americans. Think again. Anti-voter legislatures around the country still employ racial gerrymandering to retain political power. In addition to recent racial gerrymandering cases involving African Americans in Alabama, Louisiana, Florida, South Carolina, Texas, and Arkansas, there have been multiple racial gerrymandering complaints from Native Americans in North Dakota and Hispanic Americans in Washington State and Texas. To provide equity and representation, the Voting Rights Act Section 2 allows districts of dense populations of minority voters to choose the candidate of their choice. But elected officials continue to evade those rules. South Carolina's legislature split Charleston by moving 30,000 residents from 11 of 12 of the highest concentrations of black voters into another district. In the words of the lower court, bleaching Congressional District 1. Louisiana's population is almost 33% black, but Louisiana's legislature defiantly drew only one of its six congressional districts as a majority-minority black district, diluting the rest of their vote. A county in North Dakota elected its commissioners at large to reduce the chance of a Native American candidate being elected. Tomorrow, we'll tell you how some states prohibit gerrymandering and create fair maps. I'm Brian Beal.
Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. And now for something local from WFHR and WIRI Studios.
Hello, world. Welcome to WFHR's Rapids Report, proudly brought to you by Crockett Septic for this August 1st, 2025. I have your host, James, here. We're here to talk with some of our favorite people, the Historic Point Boss. We have Mike Hittner with us. Good to see you, Mike, as always.
Yes, good morning, James, and everybody in Radio Land.
We're talking today specifically about their wonderful event, Whodunit. And for that, of course, we bring in our good friend Luke Conkle, who, of course, the writer of these and everything. Luke, nice to have you in studio.
Yeah, good morning, James.
Good to have you here, man. We appreciate the time from you guys and all the effort, all the energy that is put into these events. We really do appreciate the way you keep history alive over there for us. Let's dive into this one. This particular Whodunit is going to be premiering Saturday, August 9th, 2 to 5, over at Wakely Road in Nakusa. We'll give you more details as we go along here. But, Luke, where do I go with this story? what do I tee you up to so you can take it and everything? Because there's a lot of different angles on that.
That's what we all want to know, right?
Yeah.
This year we have known as a locked room mystery where somebody turns up dead under some... Well, obviously, it's a mystery, so mysterious circumstances and figuring out whether the sheriff seems convinced that it was a natural death, but not everybody is on board with that theory. Mm-hmm. So the trick isn't necessarily figuring out who done it, but what happened and how done it.
It's multifaceted. A lot of times it's just who done it, but this has got all different aspects, and especially since it was a locked room and he was in there by himself.
So, I love those kind of mysteries. Yeah. They're the best. Some of my favorite Holmes stories are the ones like that. Yeah. When it comes to the idea, is this something you've had for a while, one you've been chewing on for a while, or just something that came recently?
Yeah, every year I sit down to write this and think, this might be the last one. I'm running out of stuff. But then usually as I'm working through it, I come up with a couple other things that I want to throw in there, but you know, might make things a little bit too difficult or might add too many threads. And so this is one of the threads that I started pulling on a couple of years ago. Yeah. It's coming back around.
Luke came out during the festival and he was looking for ideas, I think in June, and he brought his three little girls with him, and he was looking for ideas. Evidently, he got an idea because this is a 15th year for Luke from 2010 till now. So
it's really impressive. As a side note, really being able to as a loose writer and as a creative, I'm blown away by what you do, man. I think it's really, really cool, especially with the energy behind it, the passion behind it, the reasoning behind it, mm-hmm. and everything. I think that's very cool to do. Mm-hmm. When it comes to being able to hammer this out and then, you know, get it out there, get it to everybody, how did that process go? Once you had that idea, getting it written?
Mike can speak to it a little better, but it's a couple of weeks later this year, and I warned him that just meant that it was a couple more weeks that I could procrastinate and get to him.
But,
from sort of the idea phase, it starts out, I have obviously kind of an outline of what the reveal is going to be, who done it or what happened.
Yeah.
And then working backwards from that outline to more of an outline of, each character, figuring out first which characters I need and, how they're going to connect maybe sort of loosely to past years, that sort of thing. And then outlining, each character, maybe motive, means, opportunity, that sort of thing. And then, from there, taking some of their, like Mary Wakely has, she's sort of evolved into
the town gossip.
Yeah, the town gossip character. And so, where does, being the town gossip fit into this particular year's mystery, that sort of thing. So.
Is there any danger of this being a little similar to a Murder, She Wrote scenario where it seems like everywhere Angela Lansbury went, there was a murder? I don't know if anybody ever caught that, but it seems like it. So what's going on over at Wakely?
Well,
there are so many, like over the, I'm yeah, kidding. If
you're a fan of a lot of these British detective shows, these really, really small communities out in the hinterland have one murder after another, and you wonder where can all these murders come? This town is about 400 people. Who's coming through there?
I know
or whatever.
Exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah.
In all seriousness, Luke, how do you keep from? And I can't imagine it actually probably happens with the story somewhat, but you don't want to repeat yourself. You don't want to go to the same well too many times. And as Mike touched on, you've been doing this for over a decade and everything. How do you keep yourself from doing that? How do you keep yourself fresh with this?
Yeah, I don't know.
it's probably organic.
I don't have a good answer. I try to not like it's a locked room mystery. We had one other locked room mystery 4 or 5 years ago now. So I try to not do, the same kind of mystery. I'm trying to decide how to answer this question without giving too much away. There's really only a small handful of, motivations for murder, kind of cycling through them and,
That's a good way to do it.
Going back to it, yeah.
I know I'm a big fan of, detective shows and all of that, and I grew up loving Columbo, like a lot of people, and I remember reading, not too long ago, actually, a lot of the writers on that show would approach it as they would start from the end and then go back.
Yeah.
Is that a little bit of what you've done before?
Yeah,
or have you done?
That's essentially it, yeah.
Okay.
Figuring out.
That's interesting to me. Yeah. That's a cool way to write. Yeah. I've never written that way, and I find that awesome. That's really fun. Yeah. I want to try it immediately.
Yeah. For some people, especially my wife, she loved Columbo because she had it solved in the beginning, mm-hmm. and then they went back through and showed what transpired to that point. And, mm-hmm. you know, for that, some people, it's kind of a different genre to, yes. to do it from yeah. backwards forward mm-hmm. or something like that.
Yeah, and this is sort of a, you know, people talked about Monk, you know, being a sort sure. of reincarnation of Columbo in some ways. And mm-hmm. and one of the sort of fun things about that show is in a lot of cases, no pun intended, they would actually give you they would show the audience the actual crime at the beginning, right? Mm-hmm. And then you would have to sort of figure out not what happened, but how Monk figured it out, right?
Exactly.
And so that's I mean, none of our actors know which one of them did it. But I think this year more than other years, I think maybe if they read carefully, they can maybe figure it out. And mm-hmm. so there's maybe a little bit of that flavor here where, you know, that they might actually know what happened, and they're sort yeah. of trying to piece it together for the audience.
You kind of saw where I was going with this, with those shows. I think Law and Order is another one of my favorites, where they kind of give you the...
You were listening to the Rapids Report, sponsored by Crockett Septic. To hear the full interview, visit WFHR.com, the Civic Media app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM. W248DE Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. The Kremlin says a three-hour meeting between Vladimir Putin and U.S. Envoy Steve Witkoff was constructive ahead of President Trump's Friday deadline for a ceasefire agreement with Ukraine. The BBC's Steve Rosenberg.
Some people here believe that actually Donald Trump wouldn't go through with this threat to impose hefty tariffs on countries that do business with Russia.
The family of one of Jeffrey Epstein's alleged victims vehemently opposed to a presidential pardon for his co-conspirator Ghislaine Maxwell. Virginia Giuffre's sister-in-law tells CBS.
She really described Ghislaine as almost this puppet master.
Giuffre died by suicide. Infectious disease expert Dr. William Schaffner speaking out after Health Secretary Kennedy pulled $500 million in funding for vaccine research.
They have been used in literally millions upon millions of doses around the world. These are very effective and very, very safe.